Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We worship you, Lord, this morning. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone into this place. Welcome to those online. We worship you, Father God. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We thank you. You are in this place. Hallelujah. Take full control. Full control of this service. In Jesus' name, we worship you. We've come to meet with you, Father. We expect your goodness. We expect your glory. We expect your power, Father God. Thank you for the word this morning. We worship you. Hallelujah. Let's stand and start praise and worship together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
For you are holy. Hallelujah. As for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord, lifting holy hands in worship. We will not bow down to the gods of man. We will worship the God of Israel. As for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord, lifting holy hands in worship. Gods of man, we will worship the gods of Israel. You are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. You are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. You are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. You are holy, holy. There is no one else like you.
As for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord. Lifting holy.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to God Most High. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah to the Ancient of Days. Hallelujah to the I Am that I Am. Hallelujah to the beginning and the end. Hallelujah to Jehovah Rapha.
Hallelujah
to Jehovah Nisi. Hallelujah to Jehovah Zikenu. Hallelujah to God our provider.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to God our keeper.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yahweh Nisi, Yahweh Makadesh, Yahweh Shalom, Yahweh Rophe, Yahweh Rapha, our Ebenezer, we worship you. Be exalted, O God, in our worship. Be exalted, O God, in our praise. Extraordinary God, do extraordinary things in the lives of your people today. We come, O God, in humility. We bow ourselves before you and we say, Father, Let your name be exalted in us this day. Let our praise be received, Father. For we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We thank you, Lord, O God, that the veil has been torn, top to the bottom. Now we can come to the Holy of Holies and experience your loving kindness forever. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. There is this song that we used to sing, the Holy of Holies.
Lead me to the outer court, to the holy place.
Not that one, but it's good. Come into the Holy of Holies. Enter by the...
Lead me into the Holy of Holies.
Let's sing that one.
Lead me in by the blood of the Lamb. Lead me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coals, cleanse my knees, here I am.
Yes, let's do that one. Let's sing it from the top. Just worship God right now.
Lead me to the outer courts, to the holy place. Past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. But it's only found one place. So lead me into the Holy of Holies. Lead me in by the blood of the Lamb. Lead me into the Holy of Holies.
this morning, I need you to do something. At this time of the year, we do something called spring cleanup. The Word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. As we come to the end of this month, the month of May, I need you to present yourself before the Lord right now and ask God for a clean up. That those things that do not belong in your life, in your heart, that God will even now uproot it and eradicate it and refill you with the life, His life. Give you a fresh start so that as you step into the next 6 months, you are speaking life out of your mouth. That every language of death, anything that breeds negativity, strife, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, fear, shame, doubt, confusion, that those things be taken out. God does a fresh work inside of you today. Because as you go through 2026, you want to receive everything God has promised you. Will you just lift your hands before the Lord and begin to talk to Him right now? We need an overhaul. We need a spring cleanup. Thank you, Lord, O God, for clean hearts, sanctified minds. Oh, in the name of Jesus, oh God, Father, touch your people, oh God, today. Uproot everything, oh God, that does not belong. Empty our hearts, oh God, of everything that is false. Everything, oh God, that is unlike you. Lord, oh God, let it be removed. Let it be removed. Let it be removed. Let it be removed. Let the precious cleansing blood of Jesus cleanse every heart. Lord, oh God, refill us, oh God, with your life. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, let us, oh God, be renewed in the spirit of our minds. We receive the mind of Christ. I'm walking the integrity of your word. Take your coals, cleanse our lips. Kode balada bashikele de 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 basoka.
Thank you, worship team.
Hallelujah. Say as a prayer with your own mouth. Say, Lord, cleanse my lips. Cleanse my spirit. Cleanse my soul. Cleanse my body. Cleanse my home. Cleanse my family with the precious blood of Jesus, with the word of the Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Say amen. 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 Father, we thank you for another wonderful day that you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, O God, that you are a holy and righteous God, that you chose to love us with your own everlasting love. We want to say we appreciate you. We are thankful and we are grateful. We thank you for your mercy that are new this morning. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you, God, for your mercy has covered us. Your mercy has sustained us. Father, how does the Holy God deal with unclean man? But Lord, by your mercy, you have chosen us. Father, we bless your holy name. There's an unclean world, but yet you are holy. Your holiness is more than enough to cover us all. Your blood is more than enough to cover us all. Lord, we give you praise. Can somebody praise him this morning? Father, we praise you. We praise you and we magnify your name. We thank you for your faithfulness towards us. Even when we are not faithful, you are faithful. Lord, we give you praise. Even when we are not thankful, you are thankful that you made us in your image and your likeness. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise and honor. We thank you and we are grateful. Thank you for overlooking all our errors, for having mercy on us. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. This morning, cleanse everyone who hears the sound of my voice with the precious blood of Jesus. Blot away every sin record from their record book, our record book, and Lord, may your name be glorified. Father, see your children through the eyes of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for every home, every family represented, that you will visit everyone, that everyone will begin to make a U-turn and turn back to you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, let your name be magnified. You see every detail about our lives. So the ignorance of fooling of ourselves, may we release those to you in the name of Jesus. And may we choose your ways, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Revive us as individual, revive us as corporately, revive us as a ministry, as a nation, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, commit all our family members to you. Touch everyone. By your spirit, draw everyone. Holy Spirit, you are the convictor. Convict us of everything you need to convict us of, that we will turn around and give our heart totally to you. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your healing mercy, your healing grace, your saving grace, your power to redeem, and your power to restore. We speak restoration every household, every single one of us, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, God, that pride will not have a way in our lives. Arrogance will not have a way in our lives. But we will continue to yield ourselves in humility and in adoration to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for giving us warm weather. Been through the cold for months, and now it is warm. We want to give you praise. We are grateful for all the seasons that you've given to us. We appreciate you, and we thank you for giving us survival skills that we're able to come through it all. And Lord, this summer, may it be the spring season, may it be well with every household. As we spring, we enter summer, and we enter into the blossoming things are beginning to grow again. May not only vegetation grow around us, may our life also grow in you. In the name of Jesus, may your living water spring forth in our lives, that we'll begin to water other things that you want us to water. And every weed in our life, remove in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for a glorious time in you in this service this morning. Thank you, God, for the nation of Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray, God, for prosperity to her palaces, peace within her walls. And you are doing what you say you will do. Covenant keeping God. You are keeping your covenant. Father, may we also keep our covenant to you. Remember your people, redeem your people, set them free, and make them whole, and draw them to you, that they begin to call, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, that you come back, Yeshua HaMashiach, that you will come back for your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, God, for all nations. Let every nation praise you. Pray, God, for the peace of Jerusalem, and that same peace, we pray over the nation of Israel, over Canada, over Nigeria, over United States of America, over Senegal, over Mali, over Niger, that you will save all these nations. Draw them to you, O God, and all the islands of the seas. Bring them into your presence. Let somebody begin to praise the Lord in these nations. And every nation where someone is calling upon the name of the Lord, save your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bring revival, O God. Remove poverty and lack, sickness, disease, and turmoil and wars from their land. And Lord, we give you praise for the service this morning. Everyone in this house, may they receive a touch from you. May every family hearing the sound of my voice receive a visitation in the name of Jesus. Father, move in the service this morning. Let your word come with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy, with truth, with healing, deliverance, wholeness and restoration, and strength and prosperity and blessings. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I opened my eyes and everybody was comfortably seated. So next Sunday, I'm going to make you stand all through. Bless you. All right, Apostle.
And God remembered. Somebody say, God remembered. Oh, say it again. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Somebody say, God, my father, remember the covenant. The secret to our breakthroughs is in the covenant. God made a covenant, and God remembered the covenant.
The word of God says God remembered his covenant for them. May God remember, the God that doesn't forget. Let him activate every promise. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we, your people, called by your name, humble ourselves before you. We seek your face. Heal us. Heal our land. Hear the prayer, the testimonies, the confessions that are made from this place. May you, the God of the turnaround, turn all things around for our good. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Today is Mission Sunday. And before I begin sharing the word of the Lord with us, I'd like to just share some things with you on video. And I might just make some comments here and there. And then we'll begin to get into the word of the Lord. But while we are getting that set and ready to go, next Sunday is our family Sunday, and our also a friendship Sunday. That's the Sunday that we lay hands on the young ones, being the first Sunday. But we want you to be reminded also that it's a Sunday for inviting your friends, family, and others to come and participate. And during those first Sundays, the word of the Lord will be the word that those that do not know too much about the word of God need to hear. Amen? So it's not going to be too heavy. It's just going to be just right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Missions. This is one of our churches in Pakistan, the first picture there. This is man I'm dealing with. I'm giving some money for the purchase of the slaves. This is one of them. Right there is the center page where I crossed out the bill. These are rickshaws that we bought for the two families that we got out. Praise the Lord. These are people in one of our churches. I asked them to lay hands on each other, pass forward, and God did mighty things in that service. This is a woman that had heart issues. She believed that God had healed her completely. This is in Pastor John and Richard's church, Consuming Fire Church. Beautiful, beautiful church. I had Pastor Paul Amé with me. This was a healing service. This woman had experienced an accident and couldn't walk without her stick. Well, praise God, she started walking. This young man, I think a tumor vanished from there. Praise the Lord. Some more services. Actually, first service was in a street where this service took place. The street was blocked off, and we're able to have a service there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to remind us of something very fundamental in our faith, something that we as a church need to do faithfully. The Word of God says, he that winneth souls is wise. It's found in the book of Proverbs, the 11th chapter and the 30th verse. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. The verse starts off this way: the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Say it with me, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Okay. Let's back up in a moment here. The fruit of an apple tree is what? Apples. The fruit of oranges in an orange tree is what? Oranges. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. An apple tree produces what? Orange trees produce what? Okay. So, the tree of life produces what? The tree of life produces what? Righteousness, life, which is it? An apple tree produces what? A tree of life produces what? So what then is righteousness? Righteousness is life. Amen? The fruit of righteousness produces life. God has given to you and I the gift of righteousness. Therefore, God has given to us what? Life. Now, it goes on and it says, he that winneth souls is wise. What does a soul winner do? A soul winner is one who brings people from the place of unrighteousness to righteousness. Meaning then that they bring in people from the place of death to the place of what? Life. But God says, he that winneth souls is wise. So therefore, the word of God is saying to us that the soul winner who is wise is also a soul winner who is bringing life to people. May I say to you that the people that you do not win to the Lord become the agents of Satan that will try to win you or win your family from the place of life to death. Meditate on that a moment. The people that we do not bring to the Lord become agents of Satan that can grab those that we have, ourselves or others, and bring us to death. So wisdom says, win them before they win you. Amen? Wisdom says, bring life to them before they bring death to you. Wisdom says, bring righteousness to them before they bring unrighteousness to you. The mistake that we've made is that we've left so much room for the devil to operate. We've left it in the politics of the land, so believers have not penetrated the politics of the land. We've left it in the educational system of the land. So the educational system have polluted the people of God. We've left it in every sphere. In fashion, we left it. So therefore, those who do not know God determine what the fashion is. Are we together so far? We've not brought life to the society, so the society has brought death to us. So So rules, regulations, systems, everything are things that are worldly and carnal, and now we are busy fighting against the system. A system that we shouldn't have fought against if we had addressed the situations in the first place. If you prevent, they say prevention is better than cure. Yeah? Our part of our prevention of things not going right is us bringing right to society. The neighborhood that you do not minister to, do not bring life to, will bring death to you. The community that you do not bring life to will bring death to you. But the word of God says, the fruit of those who are righteous is that they produce a tree called the tree of life. And from the fruit, seeds are made. Are we together? So my righteousness needs to be contagious. It has to have a legacy to it. If you don't win the people in your place of employment, they will ruin your life. They will run your life. They will control your life. So the first thing the believer needs to do is to believe God to win the members of the people or the people that he's working with. If you don't do that, their language will become your language. Their thinking will become your thinking. Their ways will become your ways. I remember many years ago, I was working for a company, an electrical company. I think it was called Heritage. Your company? Was it called Heritage? No? Anyway, it was, you guys were on at the corner of Kiwetin and Leela. Remember that company? Okay. And I was, they'd given me some kind of employment to do electrical work for them. You know, so I was working with these people. And you know me doing electrical work. Yeah. So I'm in this place, just forgotten the name of the building now. And I'm putting in plugs, connecting plugs, putting the boxes and putting the plugs and stuff like that. And all around me are people swearing. Most of them. It was just F this, F that, F this, F that. And it didn't matter. You know, I'm not swearing, so that's their thing. They don't know any better. I was there for about a week and a half, and one day I'm just talking, and from nowhere, an F word was about to come out of my mouth. And I said, where did that come from? That's not me. And God says, it's the environment where you are. It's affecting you, and you did not know it. So I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, begin to worship me. So I got in there next day, and I started singing worship songs, praising God. If you can do F this and F that, I will sing loud. So I started singing, and before you know it, there were no F words anywhere. For as long as I was in that place doing my stuff, not an F word. It was shut down. I had changed the atmosphere. That atmosphere was about to change me and make me start saying things out of my mouth that I had no business saying. That was not me. But now, they were trying to affect me. They hit something wrong and F this, and something went this way, F that, and all the F this. And now I am trying to put a plug in and it's not working. I wanted to say F. That's not the way it's going to go. No. It's not going to go that way because I am not part of that. So I infected my environment by changing the temperature, by worshiping God. Where you are working is affecting you. The culture of the place is affecting you. And you need to bring the culture of the kingdom of God into that arena. Begin to affect the people. I go to a place with Mama where we exercise. There's a lot of people in there. So either they're going to affect me or I'm going to affect them. So I'm in doing my aqua size. My eyes are closed and I'm focused in affecting everything around me. I'm going to touch these people one way or the other. One day, a dear lady came by and says, "I see that you close your eyes all the time. What are you doing? Are you like honing in and trying to make a connection with God or something?" I said, "Whichever way you want to take it, I'm focused on something." Is it my bank? That I go to bank? When I go there and say, "How are you doing? How are you doing?" Guess what they're going to say? Blessed and highly favored. Because I brought that there. What are you bringing to the marketplace? How are you affecting your environment? How are you affecting your community? How are you affecting life around you? Because I tell you this, if you are not affecting it, it is affecting you. You think, "I'm struggling spiritually. I don't know why I'm struggling spiritually." Your environment. They go and they do their thing and they impact your life. I like doing my nails. I like pedicure and manicure. That's how I relax. And I like a good massage. Get the stiffness off. But if you're going to touch me, any part of me, you better know you're going to be touching the presence and the power of God. Amen. You're not going to touch me with your Buddhist, Hindu, whatever, hands. No. I am going to be touching you when you don't know I'm touching you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You go to the, you're buying stuff in the store. Do you know the kind of people that you're meeting every day? You cannot just go in there and think everything is normal. No, the devil is on the move. He wants to impact your life directly or indirectly, whether you like it or not. You're in a battle. And you need to bring life to people. Awaken within them the hunger and the desire for God. the one that has gone off backslidden comes. I went to a store, the restaurant, the takeout place, the other day, and this young man says, "Can I call you sometime and talk to you about something?" I said, "Sure. Here's my number." A magnet doesn't have to do anything. It just has to be close to the metal, and the metal comes to it. Amen? So, we also need to understand that God has called us to be life givers. Some say, "I'm a life giver. I have the righteousness of God. I'm a tree of life." Wow, that's serious. A tree of life. A tree of life? Yeah. Well, the Word of God says, in verse 31, it says, "Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth." The disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "What are we going to get? We've left everything to follow you." He says, "If you've left father, mother, brother, sister, lands, whatever," he says, "you're going to get all of that back in this lifetime." It's not about going to heaven. So wisdom says, if I want the benefits of the blessings of God in this lifetime, I better follow the dictates and the directions of God. That's part of my wisdom. Amen? It's a foolish thing not to be a winner of souls. That's foolishness. So what do you mean foolishness? Well, the Word of God says, it is a fool who says in his heart, "There is no God." Okay, but I believe in God. I'm not saying there's no God. Well, if you believe there is a God, and you believe that God has a place called heaven, and has a place set apart for the devil and his cohorts called hell, and that people who do not know God end up in hell, if you know God, and you know that God does not lie, then you do everything that you can do to make sure that you reach the people that you need to reach so that they don't end up in hell, but end up in the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? So, me walking in love means I'm a soul winner. If I'm not walking in love, then I don't care. But if you love God and you know that God is true, then you do whatever it is that you need to do to reach the lost. And you also recognize that God rewards you for doing so. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God. "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." What power? The power of God that brings about salvation. So if we have the power of God and we have the Spirit of God, then we are bringing salvation to the masses. Whether it's an individual, a group of people, we bring in salvation unto them. How? By causing them to believe. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, God, believes in him, the Son that is given, should not perish but have everlasting life. So, we are the agents that God uses to bring salvation to people. God wants to use me to be a savior. Watch that. God wants me to be what? A savior. Why? Because the savior lives inside of me. God wants to use me to bring people to salvation. The word of God tells us very specifically in Romans 10 and verse 14, tells us about this gospel that we are preaching. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they going to call on God whom they have not believed in? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? But how are they going to hear him? They're going to hear him through me. I become the voice of God. I become the representative of God. In fact, when we say in the name of Jesus, we're saying as a representative of Jesus. Let me say that again. I pray. And says, in the name of Jesus. What I said is, as a representative of Jesus, I say, amen. This will happen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the law. In the name of the province of Manitoba. Are we together? By the authority invested in me as a minister of the gospel, yes, by the Lord, but in the province of Manitoba, I pronounce you husband and wife. And guess what happens? They become husband and wife. In the name. So in the name of Jesus becomes my authority base from whence I am operating and functioning. Now, if you are not representing him, where's your authority coming from? Are we together so far? Is this simple enough? Okay. I don't want to complicate this. I just want you to think for a moment and recognize that it is for your good that you preach the gospel. It says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Are they going to hear if there's no preacher? And how are they going to believe if they've not heard? And how are they going to call on the one that they need to call on if somebody did not tell them? The word of God says, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. So you need to call on the name of the Lord for salvation. So you see somebody going through a crisis in their life. What do you do? Keep your mouth shut? Go gossip about them? Or do you come alongside and say, I see this is going on with you. Would you like me to pray with you? I saw a man the other day, and he walks with two sticks. I said, what's going on? He says, I don't have forward mobility. If I try to go forward, I'll fall. I said, how did that happen? He said that he had some head injury, and since he cannot function that way. I said, do you mind if I pray with you? He said, of course. I said, okay, let's pray right now. He said, right now? I said, yes. Everybody here? I said, of course. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So I prayed for him. And the next thing I know, the guy is walking without his sticks. I said, I thought you told me that you can't walk with these sticks. And I'm in the open area where the exercise machines are, and I see him going up the stairs without the stick. I'm thinking, look at that. This is like within 5 minutes. He's going up the stairs. What did my action prove to him at that particular moment? somebody cared enough to pray for me. I may not see him in church today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, maybe. But guess what? I'm going to be having the 50th anniversary. If I said, I'd like you to come to my 50th anniversary celebration, guess who's going to come? That guy is going to come. Why is he going to come? He's going to come because somebody cared for him for a moment. It doesn't matter where God places you. You are called there to impact the lives of the people there. You are called to your particular neighborhood to impact the lives of the people in your neighborhood. Are you a Nicodemus who comes to Jesus by night? Or can you be prosecuted as a believer? It's obvious this person is a Christian. Well, God wants you and I to count. If salvation was just about you going to heaven, then the proof that you got saved is that you would drop dead. And you can go to heaven right away. Yeah? But that's not it. You're here to touch the lives of the people around you. Your next door neighbor, the person that you work with, the cashier at the mall, wherever. That's who God has called you to. They may not come to your church, but that doesn't matter because it is not salvation to my church. It's salvation unto the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm sure that there are people in here today that got saved under somebody else's preaching, somebody else's ministry. And if I go across this city today, I'll find people that got saved from this ministry in different places. The point is that we all end up in the presence of God. One of the first proofs that you as a child of God has the Holy Spirit in your life, and the Word of God says that He gives His Spirit to those who obey Him, and He gives His Holy Spirit to those who see the Spirit of God, who see the Spirit of God or the Word of God. One of the first signs or proofs that you've got the Holy Spirit is the Word of God says in Acts 1:8, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Amen? He said, but you shall receive power. What power? The power to salvation. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So what is the first proof of the fact that they had the Holy Ghost? Yes, they spoke in tongues. That's true. Yes, they prophesied. That's true. But the impact of all of that, speaking in tongues and prophesying, is that 3,000 souls were added to the church on the first day. Hello? God wants you and I to act in the interest of the kingdom of God and bring a report to Him about what the Holy Spirit is doing. In recognizing in Acts 2 and verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and we celebrated the feast of Pentecost last Sunday. Well, Acts 2 and verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one place in one accord. Yeah? When the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And the Spirit of God came. We talked about all of that. But the result of all of that action, the move of God, the cloven tongues and all of that, verse 8 tells us this. Watch this. It says, they said, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? They were speaking, and God was causing whatever it is that they were saying to communicate with the people, no matter what tribe or language they spoke, whether they were Persians or Medes or Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus Pilate or Pontus and in Asia, they were hearing the word of God while they were speaking in tongues. So the power made certain that the people that they were speaking to understood. They understood. God communicated. And when we allow God to speak through us as God gives utterance, we will speak the language of the hearer. Not everybody comes to salvation the same way. You don't know what is going to strike into the heart of the person that will draw them to God. You may be talking with somebody, and all of a sudden you start talking about the sun and the distance of the sun from the earth and why that distance is so important, because if it was just a little bit closer, we'll all burn up. If it's just a little bit farther away from the earth, we'll all freeze. And the person says, okay. There is a God. There's order. Can you imagine? You know, the craziness and foolishness of man that makes man think all of this just happened. All of this just happened. How crazy is that? All of this just happened, and I have a pancreas, and I have a liver, and I have a heart. I have arteries and veins. It just happened. The order of everything in my body just happened. And if anything goes wrong with any of those organs, I'm sick. It just happened, right? That can you imagine just to see how intricate that is? You say, the Big Bang brought this about. The Big Bang brought that whale and the tilapia and the mackerel and the shark. The Big Bang brought that, just made that happen. The Big Bang made this chair come to pass. So, excuse me, that was manufactured in China. Oh, really? Really? Oh, this is manufactured, but the Big Bang brought about you. And I don't care, no matter how. You see, the reasoning behind all of the foolishness is that people don't want to be responsible and allow righteousness to take root. And what is my call? To bring righteousness to impact their lives and say, listen, you're not going to live the righteous life in your own strength. It is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God, and you receive it by faith. By faith? Oh, I don't know about this faith. Okay, you don't know about this faith. Now, we are here. There are all kinds of waves happening right here, right now. There's sound waves. Light waves, electronic waves of all kinds of things are happening here that I cannot see. But what I see because of that which is invisible. True? Once upon a time, We used to have phones, big phones. And if you wanted to phone from another room, you had to have a nice cord attached to another cord, and you carry your bass with you wherever it is you're going. If we showed some of the children the phones that we used to use, they will ask, "What is this?" And today, you have a cell phone, and you can talk to anybody in the world. And not just talk to them, see them. How is it that you can see somebody in Timbuktu right here? Did the person just come, and just steady coming, and then they showed up? It's invisible. You can't see it. You can't see God, but God is real. So, Pastor, what are you saying to me? I'm saying, listen, all the obstacles that you place before you that make it impossible to share the love of God and the peace of God and the strength of God and the person of God, that you have natural solutions to address people so that they can rethink what they are thinking. And recognize that not everything is explainable in the natural, that there are spiritual laws and there are natural laws. One of these days, I'm going to speak on hate speech. And I'm going to state very clearly that hate speech is me not telling you the truth. And that if you are telling me I cannot say this because of that person's rights, then also you're telling me that I can drive on any side of that road right there because it's my right, it's the road. And that there are no laws, no standards. That when I say to somebody, this is what the Word of God says, I'm speaking from my position and my expertise, from a spiritual perspective. You may be speaking from a natural perspective about certain physical laws, but there are spiritual laws also. And if you go against those spiritual laws, it will impact society and bring about a whole bunch of craziness in society. Are you ready to live with that? The truth is the truth. Hallelujah. The truth is the truth, and we must pursue the truth of God. The Bible says that while the people were confused about what was happening in Acts 2, chapter 14, it says that Peter standing, I like that word, Peter standing up with the 11. I think it's time for you and I to begin to stand. We need to stand for something and stop caving to the dictates of this natural world and the ways they think. It may make sense to them in their natural ways, but enmity with God. God has a standard. Peter stood, lifted up his voice and said, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words." Listen to what I have to say. Listen. This is what's happening. This is that. And he began to explain what the word of God was declaring. This is that. You think we're drunk? We're not drunk. I tell you what's going on. The world is looking for answers. And it behooves us to bring the answers to them. How do we get to bring the answers to them? By seeking the face of God and saying, God, I'm going to meet people today that I've not met before. They may have questions and they may need answers. I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I have the right word for whoever it is that I'm going to meet today. Hallelujah. And God will give you the words of wisdom that will penetrate into their hearts. The Bible says Philip was having a mass crusade somewhere, and then he calls for Peter and the apostles. They came there to meet him in Samaria, I believe it was, and he lives there, led by the Spirit, and he comes to the wilderness, and he meets an Ethiopian eunuch who was coming from Jerusalem. And the guy is reading, and God says to Philip, go talk with that guy. He goes to him and says, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand? He says, how am I going to understand if nobody tells me what this is all about? And he begins to share the word of God with him. And by the time he finishes, the eunuch says, listen, tell you what. I see water here. Is there any reason why I should not be baptized? And by the way, June the 28th, we're going to have a baptism service right after the morning service. And if you're interested, please contact Sister Kristen about that, and we'll make sure that you get baptized. He says, how am I going to know what is happening here if nobody tells me, explains it to me? God is anointing you today to be the one that brings the answer to many that are confused. There are people out there that are confused. They don't know anything. They don't know anything. And they are open for us to bring the truth to them. And we need to bring the truth to them before some devilish religious system brings lies into their lives and now they are confused. God is bringing the nations to us right here. We don't need to actually go looking for them. They come into us. And they come in with their gods and their idols and their whatever else. What am I called to do? Bring the gospel of truth to them. Let them know what the word of God says. Explain it to them. That is my calling. That's your calling. Verse 41 of Acts 2 says, when he'd finished preaching, it says to us that they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. About 3,000 souls were added in one day. Just a few verses later, 5,000 souls added. And then the word of God started to say, not only did God add to them, God multiplied. Why? They were actively preaching the gospel. Why do we need the anointing of God to do anything if we are not willing to share the word of God with people? Everything about you and I must be about letting others know about this love of God and the power of God. Because we believe there is a God, and we believe there is a heaven, and we believe that there is a hell. And people who do not know God are going to end up eternally in hell. And if I love them, I must do everything I need to do to reach them. God reached me. It wasn't the first time I heard the gospel. I was busy fighting people who were trying to preach the gospel to me because, well, I wanted to live in my sin. And how dare you come tell me about Jesus so I can stop sinning? I like my sin. But the day came when God reached me. Amen? And since that time, July 24th of 74, till this day, I've not strayed from the ways of God. God touched me, and God will touch people. Amen. Some people may not just come right away. You know, it's like fishing. You know, you don't cast a net just to catch one fish. Sometimes you throw a hook. And when it catches, when it bites the bait, you fight to get it in. You reel it in. Battle it. I know Brother Bill is looking at me and saying, right, I saw you fishing. You fight it to bring it in. Sometimes it's a battle. The person comes to church and then you don't see them for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Fight to get them back. Until they get it, because it's a new habit for them. They're not used to it. Waking up on Sunday, that's when they sleep in. And now you're trying to take the one day that they decide to sleep in away from them. No. It's a battle until you bring to them the awareness that having a relationship with God and fellowshipping with your fellow brothers and sisters releases power into your life. They see the advantage of it, and then it becomes their new normal. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's been my experience that when you are planting stuff, and it's planting season, especially tomatoes, you know, you go to the garden place and you get your tomatoes and then you put it in the ground. And while it was in the garden place, the leaves were up, looking up. You bring it to your house, create the atmosphere for it, put it in there. You come back in the evening or whatever, and it goes. Oh, they sold me the wrong one. No, they didn't sell you the wrong one. Just water it. You give it water, and there it is. And you keep on watering it, and then it starts flowering. You say, I'm not looking for flowers. I'm looking for tomatoes. What is all these flowers for? Well, that flower is going to turn to your tomatoes. You work with people. And then, oh, well, I might be invading their privacy. Invade their privacy. So what do you mean, invade their privacy? It's their privacy. Would you want somebody to invade your privacy if they know that something better will happen in your life? My house is on fire, and you say, I'm not going to invade their privacy. Right? It's their privacy. I will not invade their privacy. I don't care if you're my enemy. I'm invading your privacy. I'm going to be banging on that door and say, your house is on fire. Come out, come out. I'm going to be calling 911, invading your privacy to make sure that you don't die. What are you and I doing to make sure that people don't get lost for eternity? Do we believe the word of God? It starts with our family. The Bible tells us that when Andrew found Jesus, the first thing he did was go look for his brother, Peter, in John 1 and verse 40. Sometimes the hardest to win to the Lord are family members. He says, one of the two which heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew heard John testifying about Jesus. He didn't even have a personal relationship with Jesus directly, but he heard. And so he goes and looks for his brother Peter. Peter, he says. This, watch the words here. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. We found him. He findeth his own brother. That means he looked for him. And then he says, we have found the Messiah. That means he was looking for the Messiah. Do you know there are people who are looking for the love of God, looking for God. They're looking for the peace of God. They're looking. They're called seekers. Let them know that you found the answer that they've been looking for. It's not in them folding their legs and going, No, it's not that. It's in Jesus. Stop laughing, you make me laugh. Huh? It's in Jesus. Let them know that there's an answer. And that answer has been made available. Andrew found his own brother. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 43, tells us about a man called Philip. He says the day following, Jesus will go forth into Galilee and find it, Philip. So there is the finding of your sibling or whatever, the finding or the looking for the Messiah. But there is also the flip side where Jesus is looking for somebody and findeth Philip. And he says to Philip, follow me. I've been looking for you. What do you mean, follow? Is it just like that? Just follow me? Yeah, I've been looking for you. Why? Because there are people that God has his hand on already that he's going to use. He says, follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Huh? Look at that. He's targeting a community. He's not scattered all over the place. He's targeting a community. Philip findeth Nathanael. Jesus findeth Philip. Philip findeth Nathanael. God found you. Now he says, you go find somebody. Hallelujah. Just like I did for you, go do for somebody else. So he finds Nathanael and says unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of who? Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus of the north end? Can any good thing come out of the north end? Huh? What are you talking about? Philip says unto him, come and see. It is God using us saying, something is happening in the north end. Come and see. Anything, come and see. And they come, and the first thing they hear is the Lord being glorified, a wonderful worship team leading us in, wow, great music, exciting, prayer time, exciting, preaching of the word, exciting. Oh, wow, I didn't know something good can be in the north end. Of course there's something good in the north end. There's something good in Nazareth. If you found it, then get somebody else to see it, to experience it too. So Nathanael, the word of God tells us in verse 47, it says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. The guy is still a far distance away. And Jesus identifies him. Nathanael says unto him, whence knowest thou me? How did you get to know that I'm that kind of a person? There's two things we need to see here. That one, Jesus identified who he was. Maybe Nathanael knew it, that he was that. And it's possible also that Nathanael did not know that that's who he was. How is it that you know that I'm a man without guile? An Israelite indeed. How did you know that? Jesus says unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. I saw you while you were under the fig tree when Philip came there to look for you. Does God know where people are? Absolutely, he knows. What is the point? The point is God wants to work with you and I to bring about salvation of souls. The first place God will work with you at is there. The winning of souls. Speaking to men and women, letting them know that God loves them, that God is on their side, that God is not against them. There are so many people out there who are thinking God is against me. All these bad things happening to me, it's because of all the bad things I've done. And God says, listen, I come to erase all of that. I come to uproot all of that out of your life and give you a fresh start. God wants to give people a fresh start. Let's stop keeping them in bondage. The Bible says, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. You're going to see greater things than these. I'm going to do greater things in your life. I'm going to do greater things around you. We need to experience the greater because we are connecting people with God. You cannot see the greater if you're not connecting people with God. God calls us to reach people locally and globally. Hallelujah. The command of the Lord to us is go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16 and verse 15. Go into all the world. All the world. That's the last commandment he gave to us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature. I've always wondered about that. Why doesn't it just say, preach the gospel to all people? Why doesn't it say every creature? Because this statement, are you ready for this? This statement to every creature is to every creature. That means I'm talking to my dog. And I'm saying, I am the manifestation of the sons of God. You're not going to have to be kept in bondage anymore. You're going to be elevated to your rightful place as a good dog. Is somebody listening? I'm a manifestation of the sons of God. And God is going to use me to do greater things. That's preaching to every creature. I remember I was in a place called Monterey, California, with my oldest son. We were in California and we'd gone to SeaWorld or whatever it was called. And there went to this place that had the aquarium, and there were stingrays in this pool. I might have told you this story before. And these stingrays were all just moving around and people were petting them, and they went to a far corner. And I pointed to a particular one. I said, you, come to me. I want to pet you. And sure enough, it came. It came to where I was and decided to move away. I said, I want to pet you. So it came to me and came out of the water. It lifted its head out of the water. I tapped it. And I told my son, Andrew, to... No. That was a creature listening to me talk to it. It understood me. It heard me. And it did what I wanted it to do. God has empowered us, and we are wise when we follow his dictates. I wrap up with these words. Not with these words, there are many words after this. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says to us, if any man be in Christ, that man is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And verse 18 goes on and tells us, it says, and all things are of God. All that is new is of God, who hath what? Reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And what? And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. As new creations of God, God reconciles us to himself, but also gives to us the ministry of reconciliation. Your purpose as a child of God, and we are all called to fulfill our divine purpose, is the ministry of reconciliation. We are all ministers here. I'm not just a minister here, and Mama the minister here, and Pastor Paul the minister here, and on. Every one of us have been given a ministry of reconciliation, bringing people back to a place where they are reconciled in their relationship with God. And then it goes on and says to us in the next verse, watch this, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling whom? The world unto himself. How? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. God is not imputing trespasses unto people. God is not busy sitting there and saying, you, you're a terrible person. You're a sinner. You're going to hell. He's not doing that. And he's giving us the ministry to go tell people God is not swearing at you. God doesn't have a sledgehammer coming after you to break your head. God loves you. And he says that whatever it is that you've done wrong, he's cleaning it up. Amen? He's not imputing unto you trespasses, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, they get to know that God is not angry with them because I go tell them. Who are you telling today that God is not upset with them? My marriage is falling apart because I'm a terrible person. God doesn't think that. He thinks that he can fix this. And I come here to pray with you that this thing be fixed. Oh, my financial situation is so terrible, blah, blah, blah. Well, God is a God who can meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray and believe God for financial breakthroughs. I don't know what their needs might be, but they have needs. Pastor Paul was telling me this morning when I came in about a man that they went to pray for that has a flesh-eating disease. Prayed for him. And went back the next day, and the man was getting better. And he says, you said on Wednesday about life, and that we shall live and not die. And we took that word and we went there. God wants to impact lives. And he wants to do it through you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Somebody say, God wants to use my life. And I'm surrendering it to him now. Oh, Lord, use me. Guess what? He says, now then, as people carrying the word of reconciliation, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors represent their home government. Yes? We are ambassadors for Christ. And you've heard me talk about this before, that ambassador means that you were not born in the country where you are an ambassador in. That's you recognizing that I've been born from above. And if you're born from above, then you are above all. An ambassador is taken care of and financed by his home government. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not based on your work, but based on kingdom. An ambassador is protected by his home government. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But guess what? An ambassador is not just protected by his home government. He is protected by the government in the country that he is representing his country. In other words, the ambassador of the U.S. is not only protected by the U.S. government, but is protected by the Canadian government. Hello? Guess what? As one who is born again of the Spirit of God, you're not only protected by the kingdom of God, but Satan has to protect you too. Oh, you didn't hear that. That's why you're wise. Because you're an ambassador. Satan has to say to his demons, don't mess with that guy. Because if he starts crying out to his God and saying, they're troubling me, we are in trouble. So stay away from him. May the devil stay away from you and your family, your business, your place of employment, your finances, your relationships, everything, because you are a soul winner. Amen? That is an advantage. You protect yourself by soul winning. That makes sense? So it is foolish for you not to be a soul winner. Because you're inviting devils to attack you. Because you don't know who you are. You don't know what your rights are. You don't know what you're capable of. You don't know who's backing you. But when you know that you're backed by God, you're a soul winner. Amen? Now, you don't go harass them at your workplace. Invite them to your home. Invite them for coffee. And when they're in your territory, let them know. Praise God. When you are in your office, you are there to be paid by your employer. Amen? But that money that they paid you becomes a seed for you to take somebody out for coffee. And if you're really Canadian, coffee is not just coffee. Hallelujah. It means steak or something else. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good? Okay, we'll close there for now. I pray that you heard something from the Father this morning, and that you're not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the works. God can use you to touch lives. Thank God for all the lives that were touched in the nation we went to. For all the lives that have been touched day in and day out. Right here in our city, in our community, and around the world. My prayer is that God will use us powerfully to change lives for his glory and honor. Amen? Is there somebody here today who will say, you know, Pastor, I've heard the word of the Lord about me being a soul winner. One that God can use to add to his church. And in fact, through addition, bring it to a place of multiplication. I want to surrender my life to God and ask God to use me to win souls. If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. If that's you, you want to say, God, I want you to use my life to win souls. Raise your hand. I see that hand over there. I see that hand. 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 Now, for everyone here that did not raise their hand, I don't know what's wrong with you. Say, well, I win souls already. Can God use you even greater than what he's using you to do now? I'm not going to ask you, everybody, to raise their hand, but I'm going to ask this. If you want God to use your life to win souls, raise your hand. So I'm going to just assume that you did not understand what I was asking the first time. Now, for everyone who wants God to use their life, I want you to stand up. The Bible says Peter stood up. Peter standing began. Now, I want you to talk to God yourself in your own words and say, God, I want you to use my life. I don't know how you're going to use me to win souls, but I want you to use my life to win souls. I want to see people come into the kingdom. Give me a soul. Let it not be a week that goes by that I don't bring somebody to you. Talk to the Lord. You may say, God, let there not be a day that I don't bring somebody to you. Maybe you say, let there not be a month that comes through that I don't bring somebody to you. Talk to the Lord. You young person, win young people to the Lord. You're in nursery, you can win people to the Lord, your fellow people in nursery. After all, when you have a birthday, you can invite your fellow people, nursery people, to come to your birthday party. Invite people. Let's talk to the Lord. Heavenly Father, you're hearing us as your people this morning. We are asking, oh God, to be used of you to bring souls into the kingdom, locally and globally. In every sphere, oh God, that you place us in, use our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, to bring people, oh God, to a place of reconciliation. Let the anointing for soul winning come upon every life here present. Everyone hearing my voice today and in the days to come, let them come to a place where the anointing for soul winning is activated. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, the word of the kingdom is proclaimed in all the earth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. This time we're going to honor God with our giving. Today is Mission Sunday. That means that today is the day that we give that extra beyond our regular tithe and offerings. We bring a special offering for missions so that lives are impacted. Through missions, we've gone and preached the gospel. Through missions, we have built churches. Through missions, we have paid wages of pastors that are struggling around the globe. See, with the little that we've got, yes, the little that we've got becomes much in helping somebody else. It's not just when we travel. Sometimes we're here and we're touching lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you do not have the elements of communion, raise your hand and you will be served. Anybody needs the elements of communion? Okay, I don't see any hands up. So you mostly have been served. I'll call on Mama to come. Praise the Lord. This is the body of the Lord. As we take it and we eat, we will receive the full impact of benefits that the Lord God Almighty has promised. As a God who keeps covenant, let His covenant blessings be manifested in all of our lives as we eat. In Jesus' name, take and eat.
Fishers of men. As we take of this cup of blessing today, this covenant blessing, may our lives be transformed to have the love to tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
Father, touch every heart.
Hallelujah.
And every one of us as we take of this cup of blessing, that we'll be quickened to have the love of God in our heart to tell somebody else about Jesus, by His saving grace and His wondrous love.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that there is not a problem that you're facing that cannot be solved. Trust God. Do not look at what others have done right or done wrong. God needs to deal with you in a very personal way. You deal with Him. And I assure you of this, that He will take you past the issues that are facing you today and bring you to a place where you are fully satisfied with life, not discouraged, not depressed, not defeated. God wants you to be victorious. I declare that over you. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that every satanic agenda assigned against you, that that agenda be canceled, that God disrupts every work of darkness, and that you step into a higher place where you are walking in the fullness of life, recognizing that the goodness of God has been targeting you and helping you. You are not here by accident. You're here by the design of God, and God loves you and wants His best for you. Whoever that word is for, take it and run with it, and know that God is for you and not against you. In Jesus' mighty name, be blessed and be highly favored. See you tonight for a special service. It's going to be an anointing service tonight. So if you're at home, make sure that you have your oil and whatever, because I'm going to ask you to anoint yourself if you're at home. But I want you, those of you that are here in Winnipeg, to be here so that my hands can touch you.